You know, I'm very interested in, in the years before the war came. So in the 1930s, when you were having a good time, you were out dancing, and you had a job, so you had a bit of money in your pocket.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 32 shins a week or something, which was good money then, you know, because some of the men didn't have any more than that. So we were able to go out and enjoy ourselves and look after ourselves. Yeah, they're very good, I know. But the places I worked were all trade union places. So we were paid, like, the top money in them. We should talk to someone. She'd probably be talking to the granddaughter.
Yeah.
Interruption, dreadful, yeah. But
the, so it, when you say the trade union, so you were always a member of the union, right?
I was a member of the trade union. Even in the laundry, there was a trade union in it.
Yeah.
So we were paid a good wages.
So talk to me now about the laundry then, that job you had. When did you go in there? What year do you remember?
I'm trying to think. I think I must have been about 16 when I went in.
Imagine, yes. And so the kind of, what was the name of the laundry then?
The Manor Mill.
The Manor Mill.
Manor Mill.
So was there a lot of work there? Was there a lot of people working in
An awful lot of people. It used to have a cheap wash in it, and people would send a pile of clothes to it to be washed. I was in the wash. I was standing cold all day. It didn't seem to worry me, though, you know. We got paid. But I cycled up and down to Dundrum. We had to be in at 8 in the morning, finished at about 5 or 6 in the evening. But we didn't work weekends, you know.
And the management there, who were they, the people?
Sorahan was one manager. Mr. Edmondson, I think, was the other, the head man that owned it. Edmondson, I think. I think there's something wrote up in Dundrum Shopping Centre about them. I heard someone saying there was. I never got to read it, though.
And did you spend many years in there?
Always in it, like, got married.
Were you?
Nearly. Yeah, but about... until about 22 or 23 or something, I know. I got married,
And who were the big customers there in the laundry?
Well, there were people that could afford to send their clothes to be washed. You know, they didn't wash them at home. But there was a lot of people who weren't that well off would send a pile of bedclothes and get them washed cheaply, you know.
So, oh, what about hotels and that? Where did you get... sheets from bedrooms of hotels and...
Oh, yeah. The Royal Hotel, I think in... where is it? It is somewhere in Wicklow. Some of them hotels used to send bedclothes and stuff to it, yeah.
Okay, from down the country, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know if it's the Glenview or the Royal Hotel. There's some hotel near Wicklow I know used to send clothes to it, definitely, yeah.
So, can you talk me through... What exactly did you do?
Wash the clothes.
They came in baskets, did they?
Yeah, they came... No, they had big vans for collecting them. They'd collect the laundry and bring it. And there was a sorting office there where they wrote down the number or checked the number of...
Oh, this is my last time. Get
me back. Yeah. My granddaughter lives up above here and then she lets the dog out where she's working.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Okay. So, but you were telling me that the big van would arrive. They came in on a basket.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
They'd bring them upstairs and they'd be all checked and then they'd be sent down on a kind of a lift down to the wash house to be washed. And then there was women ironed, hand ironed some of the stuff. And then they had machines for to press the clothes, put them through them. But shorts, men's shorts and other things were hand ironed by people, standing all day ironing. Yeah. And some of them weren't too young either, you know. They were quite older.
Was it all women employed there?
Oh, yeah. Only men would be employed to clean showers or to drive vans or something like that. Yeah. It was all women worked in the laundry. That's right.
All different ages?
All different ages, yeah. And some of them, to us, looked quite old-looking. They mightn't have been old, but they looked old-looking, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. That was extraordinary. And,
extraordinary life, I know. I'm just saying, if I had all the chances to have now, where would I have been today? I know.
You were...
I stayed in the laundry till I was over 20. I suppose I was 23 or something. And then I'd done a bit of housework for a while. And then I went to Liverpool.
Well, that was 1937, 38.
Yeah.
And so you went over to Liverpool during the war?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, we did were doing the parties, I was, yeah. It was what they call the Dougal bugs were coming down. The bombers, they were had no pilots, I think, in them. I forget to tell you the truth. But the place was in a mess when I went over. There was craters in the ground and there was places blown up and everything in it.
Why did you go over with a war going on in England?
I don't know. I just went. But you see, when you're young, you have no fear. Something different. You didn't fear anything. I never thought that I'd ever be killed or anything. I used to come home regular.
And who did you go to Liverpool with?
He met me in Liverpool and brought me to his relations.
Oh, yeah, but did you go over on your own?
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know me own, I know.
But you had a contact, you had your future husband was living over there.
Yes. Oh, so he was a year there before I went.
He was the attraction, so.
That's what it was, yeah, yeah.
And what was his name now?
Desmond Kelly.
Desmond, yeah.
And I'd never went with fellas. He was the first I went with. And I wasn't that interested at the time, and I'll be very good. I'll show you. The back, there's the photograph of him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, me and him were younger. But
so the job in the laundry anyway was it kept you going until you.
Oh, yeah.
And you met Desmond.
Met him dancing, yeah.
Dancing where?
Yeah. He used to dance up in the scalp.
Oh, yes.
I know.
And so it was a kind of a, you know, a bit of I suppose it was a challenge, but it was also. To go off to Liverpool at that stage, it was an adventure, wasn't it?
There was an awful lot of people immigrated, though.
Yeah.
There was no work here. I mean, we were lucky we lived near Dublin, but there was no work. There were several people, a lot of people joined the ATS, the Army Women, and went away and joined up and everything to get away.
And what did you do in Liverpool then?
I'd done nothing. I got married and then I was only a year married and had children.
And what was Desmond doing in Liverpool?
He was, he used to drive the American, he used to deliver the American cars up to Scotland somewhere. And he'd drive maybe sometimes all night or all day and come back again.
And what were the American cars?
They had Jeeps and different kinds of cars and they were delivered up to Scotland. I don't know a whole lot about it, but that's as far as I know. He used to deliver them, yeah. That's right.
But you said Liverpool was in a mess, was it?
It was, yeah. Yeah, with the bombs and everything, yeah. But it didn't seem to worry me, though. I thought it was an adventure I was going on, you see. But I never worried, though. There weren't any bother in them. English people were very nice. I never found any trouble with English people. There was the house we got after we got married, we only rented it, and there was a shop as near as that house next door built on, and they owned it, our house. They were Welsh people. The Welsh people were nice. And the mum was a widow, and she had television 65 years ago or more. And I used to go in and sit with her to watch television. She was a widow and her daughters went out at night and used to keep her company. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was another lady lived at the end of ours. It's knocked down now the street. My husband went back to have a tour of Liverpool after he was married, after he come home. And the street was gone. But there was a big street called Parliament Street, and I think the Beatles lived somewhere off of that. Edge Lane, Penny Lane. I used to walk through all them, Wavey Tree Road, and I think the Beatles lived somewhere up around there. I know. It was quite exciting. And you see, at that time, no one went out to eat here, and he'd be away working all day, and I used to get me dinner out here. They did, they'd done no cooking.
Was there a lot of Irish there?
There was. Liverpool was full of Irish descent, yeah.
And did you go to the Irish clubs?
Oh, no, never went near any of them. No, didn't bother. We used to go around to an Englishman's house. He used to play the piano and he'd give parties in his house and we'd go around to it. A very nice person. He was a Protestant, but he didn't care. No religion, didn't bother their heads. But I never found any trouble with English people as regards the Irish. They always welcome you into their home or talk to you. And then there was a shop. I used to go to a shop then and her husband was in the army, and she used to come around and sleep with me at night. He went fur watching my husband during the war, and she'd stay with me at night. And she was married to a fellow who had Irish parents, and he was in the army. But there was no trouble. It was quite nice in that, you know, people talk a lot about the Paddies and the English, but I never found any trouble in it. They were always very nice to me. And even the lady at the end of the street, there's only three people lived in our street, she gave us all a couple of shillings when we were going home, which I didn't expect from her. Gave the children money coming home.
She just handed you over money?
Yeah, not a lot,
yeah,
but some. I gave all the children some money coming home. She thought we were nice neighbours, you know, which very nice. Because at that time, it was unheard of to go, to take men to live with you, or, you know, the way they're living now, different.
Oh, yes.
It was unheard of, or to have anything to do with a man, you married him. And she thought we were very respectable. And I used to see a girl going by with a fella, and I said, "Nee, lovely, her husband." She doesn't know her husband. Her husband's in the army. She does have a boyfriend, she said. And I nearly died with fright. Because I had never heard of it, you know. Well, we were so innocent, weren't we? We knew nothing. I know. They were very good. They were really good to us, though, in England. And there was a great health scheme in it. You could get bedclothes. If you had none, we had our own. We were proud. You could get a cheap milk for the children. You could get orange juice for nothing. There was everything in it when I went, which wasn't here. There wasn't anything like that here. All the children on the bed at home. I had one with an anaesthetic, and the doctor came to the house. You wouldn't give you an anaesthetic in the bed here. Perfect. Everything was perfect. Yeah.
And Liverpool then, for how many years were you there?
About 9 years.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And in that 9 years, it opened your eyes so
it did.
To a different way of life.
And my eldest girl now, she died. She died at 39. And she went to school in England for a good while, and when she came home here, she went to the convent to Loretta, and she couldn't speak any Irish, naturally. She didn't. And the nun never left her alone, giving out to her. So I went down to the nun, and she said, "You can take them out for the day." "No," I says, "I'm taking them out of school." And I sent them up to Edmundstown. Do you know Edmundstown up the road?
Well, yeah? That's when you came back here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you had all your children in Liverpool.
Oh, every one of them.
Did you? How many?
Four of them.
Four girls?
Three girls and a boy.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the eldest girl died at 39. She got multiple sclerosis. And she had an only son, and I reared him from the time he was very young. So he came to live with me altogether.
All right,
and
yeah.
He's married now with three children of his own. A great-grandchild of 16 years of age.
Okay, but just staying with that time again, when you came back to Ireland after you left Liverpool, were you lonely? Were you sad to come back?
I often wish I was back in it again.
Liverpool? Really?
I love Ireland, but it's not that, but I missed all the people in it. You see, I'd lost touch with a lot of people here, and then with him turning to drink, you lost more touch with people, you know.
At what stage did Desmond...
He was back about 2 or 3 years when he started drinking.
Is it because he couldn't get a job? Or
oh, he was working all the time. Never was off work. He was a mechanic. He never was out of work. He was always... Yeah. He drove bulldozers for a long time and went down to Wicklow to work and everything. No, he was never out of work. But he'd never come home. He'd go straight to the pub.
Yeah.
Every night.
But so Liverpool was for you, it was lovely because everything was going so well.
Everything was well in it, yeah. It was grand, Liverpool. I quite liked it.
But why did you leave Liverpool then to come back to Ireland?
Because his sister and brother, they had a sister who wasn't well, and she had to have someone to stay with her to mind her. So we came back on the conditions that we'd get a house here. He loved to come back. He wanted to come back. He liked Ireland. But it was so hard then to get a house at that time. I had about 400 or 500 saved, you know, could put it down. But they wouldn't borrow money years ago. Say he only was 1,000 to borrow, but they wouldn't borrow it.
But you were coming back to Ireland when nearly an awful lot of people were actually going over, emigrating to England.
We come back, yeah.
So you came back sometime in the 50s, early 50s, was it?
We came back before the 50s, about in the late 40s we came back. Because I'm 51 years in this house.
All right, so, yeah.
And I was a couple of years over in Ballyboden, living about 3 years as well.
Can you describe what the difference between the time you left to the time you came back? What were the changes?
Well, I didn't see that much changes. And I know a lot of people are gone away, but he always got work. You see, he was never out of work, so I didn't have to worry about work. He was always working. But, of course, there's no work for women. Of course, I wasn't educated to get a job in any way, you know. But I'd done a bit of housework a few times. I tell you, I went to work for, you know, Marley Grange?
Mm-hmm.
I went to work to mind an elderly lady. One of the loves, they owned the golf links as well, and there was only a brother and sister, and they built her a house when the brother got married out of the big house. And I used to go up and make her tea and sit and talk to her. She was great big woman at 20 stone, she couldn't do anything. And I'd done a bit of work for her, and right enough, she gave me a few pounds, helped me, yeah. She owned it all, Marley.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd give her tuppence. She was a huge big woman, you know.
And so here in Pierce Park, yeah. This was your first home, was it? After you lived for a short time down
there? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You came up here to the council. These were council houses.
Yeah. But I never liked it.
Why?
Because I wasn't used to living in a scheme of houses. See, I lived in a village. And right opposite to me was the church, the pub, the shop and the post office. Right opposite the house. And I loved Sandyford Village. And I never lived in it. They were only beginning to build schemes of houses, you know.
And why did you move out here then? Why didn't you move to a different part of the town? Is it because the...
I came to live with me in-laws, you see. And then they were allocating those houses, and they got in touch with us that we want a house, and we got the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I didn't have the intelligence or luck to live somewhere else, you know. I would now dearly have loved to live in Steppeside or Enniskerry. I loved Enniskerry.
But you saw this place develop and grow, and there must have been, in the 1950s, there was no houses behind you.
No, there was none behind me, only those. But I used to pal around with a girl from Steppeside who was 12 in family. And they lived in the village, and I still love Steppeside. Still feel I'm going home. And if I go to Ballantyre Mass, I'm going nearer to Sandyford.
Yeah.
Yeah, and funny that, isn't it? I used to work with people from Ballantyre years ago. They're all dead and gone now, you know.
And you were telling me the Kellys, there were a huge amount of Kellys living
around
here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, all in Ticknock. Do you know Ticknock?
Yeah, yeah.
They all come from Ticknock. There's a place in the called Kellys Town in Ticknock.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And my husband had an aunt, lived in the last house in Ticknock. She never married. But when she died, she left a few pounds to all her grandchildren. And there were so many of them. We got 300, but 300 was a good lot of money then, you know. So that was that. And he had another aunt that owned it. Do you know the rugby grounds in Kiltearnan?
Yes, of course, yeah.
My husband's aunt owned it, all that.
And what was her name?
She married Nolan.
Mary Nolan, yes.
Nolan.
Yeah.
And her three children went to school with me in Sandyford. And the old fella drank it out. So that was it. I suppose they got into trouble. At that time they had land, but they'd no money.
Yeah.
So they only had the land, and they owned it, all the rugby grounds. The piers to that big house is still there.
Yeah. Oh, it is, yes.
Yeah. There was a big house there long ago.
Do you remember that?
Oh, God, I do.
Remember the pierces? You don't. Do you remember the people living in the house?
Which house?
The big house that was on that site.
In the rugby grounds?
Yes.
Yeah, they were cousins of my husband's, I tell you, lived in it. Nolans were their name.
Yeah. Oh, and so you were in that house then before they knocked it, weren't you? I mean, you would have...
Oh, yeah, I went in to see them, yeah. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
The three daughters went to school. One of them married a Begley Kiltearnan. There was a little shop in Kiltearnan. I think they sell fireplaces in it. And one of them married them, and the other girl lived in Glenham, a place called Glenhamuck. When the house went, they had nothing, you see.
Was it a beautiful house?
It was a nice house, fine big house, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know. But I suppose with no money, he was neglected a lot, you see. Mm. I know, well, that's it. And
but you know, I suppose you were telling me the Kellys, to distinguish them one from the other, they all had nicknames.
No, the Doyles up in the back of the Lambs all had nicknames. The Kellys didn't. But all the Doyles had nicknames. They used the Lamb Doyles as a pub. And a woman said to me one day, did they have sheep? I said, no, it's a nickname on them. She told me, they said the Lamb Doyle, that they had sheep. So there's the Slaney Doyle, the Straight Doyle, and the Drummer Doyle. I don't know the rest of them, there's hundreds of them. And they had to do that to distinguish them from different
the different families.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember the priest would be reading off at the altar years ago who gave money. At that time, to give 21 shins was a fortune. But most poor people would give 5 shillings. And that'd be read all off the altar, who gave money to the church. Yeah. And the parish priest in Sandyford, he was an archdeacon. Kelly was his name too, Canon Kelly. He built that little house, little church, Our Lady of the Wayside. You know, with that church. He built that, and he was left money, as far as I know, a publican left him money in Dalkey, and I think that's how he built that church, he was left money. I'm not sure now, but I heard it, whether it was true or no, I don't know. And I remember going in to see him when he was laid out in his house. At that time, you could go into the priest's house, and he was laid out dead. I remember going in to see him. And there was a great, he had a great big funeral now. I think he's buried in Dean's Grange. They had their Tame Boys band and all kinds of bands at the funeral. And they used to have mass out in the open in Sandyford. As you go towards Ballally, there was no houses from Sandyford to Dundrum. There was no electric light in the road. And they used to have mass in the field and a procession in it. Lovely it was, yeah. The Corpus Christi procession, yeah. Yeah, things are different now, aren't they? Yeah. I know. The young people don't know what you're talking about now. I think you're mad or something. I know.
But it was, even where you are here, it was very much out in the country, wasn't
it? Oh, yes, yeah. It was country, yeah. But I never cared. I was taught Rafferty was a very poor area. Like some of the houses in Lower Ballyboden, they were very poor-looking houses where they opened the front door out in the street, like, you know. But I thought Sandyford was more select. It was nicer, I know. Different now, there's hundreds of houses in it. And there was some, Jimmy O'Dea, some relations of his or some friends of his lived at the corner of Sandyford, Kilcross Road, lived there at one time. There was Brennan's. I think some of them were actors. I think some of them still act or something. I'm not sure. You know, only remember them as children. Yeah. And the granny reared them, I think. The mother was always, I think she was in the theatre or something. I really forget so long ago, you know. But I can always remember different people that lived around the place, you know. And there was Pendergast as the horse trainers. They lived not far from where I was, at the top, Mount Eagle, I think they called it. And there was Boss Croker. Did you ever hear of Boss Croker?
Yes, yes.
He lived in Glencairn, not far from us either. And he came over from New York, I think, and bought that place. But I remember going there as a child. He used to dress up on Halloween and go round looking for apples and nuts. And I remember going to Glencairn one time, and they always gave us sixpence, and some, which was a fortune to give a child then, and apples and nuts. And we thought it was marvellous going up there, dressing up and going around. Wasn't life so funny when you're simple, when you think of it?
Oh, yes, indeed. You know, but you've just built a picture of, you know, your childhood again, when you had all these great actors and actresses performing in I suppose. Did you ever get a chance to go to the theatre yourself?
I went to the Theatre Royal a few times. I forget what was even on in it. I remember going to the Theatre Royal right now. It's gone now, long gone.
Yeah.
In Dublin, yeah. But they used to have what they called travelling shows.
The fit-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did have a tent, did they?
Yeah.
They came around, yeah.
I remember that going in Step Aside, they had one time. But what went on that, I don't know. We used to go just for the laugh, you know. But I can't tell you what went on even in it. The kind of shows was in it, you know. And we were very young at the time, you know.